Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
But I know I smell poo.
I'm sorry, I can't really wipe in this thing. It's hard.
I knew it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy. I am the, I guess I'm
You're
Joe.
The Bruce Wayne to my Bane.
Yeah. Only if you can pick me up over your head and break my back.
I mean, I probably could pick you up, but I don't think that would be a wise idea right now.
No, I don't think you could, like, pick me up like bench press. Like, yes, you could pick me up, but I don't think you could, like bench press me.
I don't know. It'd be pretty hard.
I'm a solid 225 right
maybe
now.
Maybe a few years ago.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm a solid 225, so I'm a heavy guy.
Yeah, a few years ago, I used to bench a lot.
Yeah, but
But I haven't done weightlifting in forever.
You'd have to do like a deadlift of me.
Even then, I mean, I used to lift fucking heavy ass weights.
And I know
it's been a long time.
And for those who are concerned, yes, we missed the last podcast because I was in the hospital with a broken back. I have a broken vertebrae. Well. I have one burst fracture on a vertebrae and three compressed fractures.
He was ambushed by a South American criminal boss.
Yes. Oh, yes, Miss.
Oh, Joe, don't stand on ceremony here. He just breaks your Clan War toys.
No!
Looks like the Clan War is over.
The Clan War is over. Why are you from South America and you sound like that?
He wasn't from South America in the movie.
No, in the comic he
oh,
was.
Right.
You said South American.
Thing.
Yeah. So for those who are concerned,
permanent pain voice.
I'm not paralyzed. I just have to wear a brace for 2 months and then hopefully everything heals itself.
Oh man, if you were, I would just call you Christopher Reeves.
Yeah, well, trust me, I've already gotten the Christopher Reeve jokes. Yeah. And,
well, that only works if you can't walk.
Yeah, I've gotten that. They've. What else? I got in the Stormtrooper.
You do look like a Stormtrooper. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, actually, Cliff says I look more like Dengar than a Stormtrooper. So
you do. You just need the diaper
on the head. That's that's his exact comment.
Yep. It is the Dengar body armor.
Yeah.
It really is. It's the Dengar body armor. You just need the diaper.
Yeah. I've also gotten Dr. House quite a bit.
Jogar.
Yeah.
It'd be Jogar.
I like the Batman comparison because you know what. Pretty much, I've got it's pretty much just like the Batman fracture, just the same thing. I just got to go to a hole in the middle of weird Arabistan and get my back fixed.
Yeah,
and then I got to
climb out of the hole.
What is that? Like, basha basha. How did that chant go?
Oh yeah.
I want to say Kumite, but that's from Bloodsport.
Bloodsport's a good movie.
I this is gonna be a crazy ass podcast because I'm still on painkillers. I'm not on the strong stuff anymore, so that's why I knew I was able to record and drive. For the last 2 weeks, I've kind of been just lying on a couch watching TV as my eyes glaze over from the drugs. So I haven't really been paying that much attention. Steve's been playing mostly video games. I know that.
It's true. Lots of video games.
So I think we could start off with the big news that was just kind of released. I think it was yesterday, or it might have been today.
L5R LCG?
The L5R. Yeah, no. We'll talk about that.
Because that's the big news.
No. New edition of 40K. Just got announced.
Oh, that was official. That's official.
Officially announced now. So the age of
the thing that everyone knew
was coming
is happening.
Yeah. So we're all yay.
The worst kept secret in the universe.
Yeah. I mean, who really cares at this point?
A lot of people.
Well, I should say
40K is a dumpster fire right now, from what I hear.
It's a dumpster fire.
So the fact that they're gonna fix it is good. And the only people it's making upset are the neckbeardiest of neckbeard 40K players.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, but that's the same thing with every edition change.
Warhammer would when they first went from Warhammer to Age of Sigmar, that was pretty bad. Like, they trolled not just the neckbeards, they trolled everyone.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone joined the neckbeards in their collective rage.
The biggest problem with the Age of Sigmar, and I'll stand by the fact that you and I were both fairly interested in it. I wasn't
for sure.
And you could go back and listen to the old podcast and hear it. But as soon as they said
you could track our progress.
Yeah. But as soon as they said no point, they didn't give any point costs
and had horsey ride rules. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Steve were very, very upset by that. We're like, No.
Yeah.
No.
But hey, and I'm fairly certain if you dig it up, James Brandt will know. But I'm fairly certain if you dig it up, I said that if they add point costs and they make it a game, I would play it. I believe I said that in my rage cast.
Yeah, you did.
And they did add points, and I do play it. I have
and
a
now,
Nurgle army.
And now it's fairly big. I don't remember.
It's getting huge.
I don't remember who I was talking to about it, but I was I was at Adepticon. The Age of Sigmar tournament was way bigger than it's ever
huge.
Been in the past. There had to have been close to 100 players.
It was way bigger than the biggest fantasy tournament I'd seen there.
Yeah, I mean, granted,
there have got to be more people playing Age of Sigmar than ever played Warhammer, the game of fantasy battles. Gotta be.
I would say that there's probably more people, at least based on observation, there are definitely more people playing the Age of Sigmar tournament than ever played in any of the 8th edition fantasy tournaments at Adepticon. But you remember the team tournament for 7th edition was...
It was pretty big.
It was fairly huge. That was always cool. They always had some really nice stuff for that. They always had it in the well-lit ballroom so you could see everything.
Motherfucking sea monsters.
Motherfucking sea monsters. Old school. That's going old school. That's almost 10 years old at this point. It's over 10, 15 years old.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, so... The 40K, if they go on the same trend, it's gonna be super successful.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, except for the people who are like, no, I want to play it with 800 Thunderhawk gunships.
But they're not gonna buy anything anyway, so nobody cares.
Yeah, it's true. I'm gonna make an undead hell elf army. Let's do that.
Speaking of armies, did you see that new balloon dwarf army?
We talked about that before.
It's out now. It's been released.
It's been released. Okay.
Yeah, they sold out super fast online.
Oh,
they're
did they?
Trying to restock. Yeah.
Well, that was the other thing is now GW's allowing people to sell shit online again.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
Oh, you didn't hear about that? No. Companies are allowed to sell shit online. So like War Store and like all those online retailers are allowed to actually advertise what GW stuff they're selling again.
That's nice.
Yeah. That was a huge deal.
That's good.
I don't know the specifics in it.
Making the retailers happy.
I think that's pretty much what it was. So it's like, once again, another loop on their Goodwill tour.
Yeah, really. They're
Games Workshop's Diamond Jubilee.
They are doing it. The new CEO is just like, I'm going to just undo all of the bad shit that this company's done in the past 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's like they're not allowed to do like discounts online or something
still,
like that.
But that's quickly becoming an industry standard. Minimum advertised price points is becoming an industry standard. So if Workshop does that, you can't really begrudge them because everyone's doing that.
Yeah, I figured as much.
This puts Games Workshop on a rung above Asmodee and Fantasy Flight, because Asmodee and Fantasy Flight won't let you sell online.
No.
So now Games Workshop is above a previously highly respected company. I mean, you should still highly respect Asmodee. They are the gaming industry for the most part.
Yeah. And Fantasy Flight, which...
Asmodee is Fantasy Flight.
Yeah. I am the Senate.
Yeah, they are. That's basically it. Like, if you try and say anything, they'll just be like, I am the Senate.
Okay. So, I was going to go into the L5R thing really quick, but I wanted to talk about something that I mentioned to you. So, in my, drug-induced...
Stupor?
Stupor. I watched all of the Star Wars movies, first 1 through 7, and I watched the prequels, just to give it another shot. My God, are they fucking awful. Now, you got to remember, I am high at this point on, like, pure oxy. You know, just, like, I'm taking, like, you know, 10 milligrams every 4 hours. Like, that's how high I am at that point. Just, it's ridiculous amounts of it. Also on muscle relaxers, too. So I'm on muscle relaxers and painkillers, lying on my couch, watching this, and I'm just like, not even this high can I enjoy these movies. And then now you got these people online that are all about, you know, like they're not even making fun. Like, it's the prequel memes. You've heard about prequel memes, right?
Yeah, like the Anakin Sand stuff. And
yeah. I mean,
look at all the fucks I give Anakin.
Yeah,
look at them.
No, it's gotten huge online. I don't know how much you pay attention to this stuff, but it's gotten big. And I think the problem with that is that more people are like, oh, it's okay to make fun of these movies. And because they're bad, and now it's coming to people like, no, I really like these movies. It's like, no, these are terrible, terrible movies. If you like those movies, you are a bad human being.
Or were a wee kid when they came out.
No,
and you have nostalgia
goggles.
No.
It's not even that. Because I'll tell you what,
I'll throw it out there. I think it is because people think New Hope is a much better film than it is because they loved it when they were a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I will not argue that fact. However, there are many movies that I watched as a kid that I loved as a kid that I have grown up and realized, hey, these were really shitty movies. I enjoyed them, but I understand that they are shitty movies.
That's true, but are you talking about 35-year-olds who share your opinion, or are you talking about 22-year-olds who think that they're great?
No, even when I was 22, because this was in college and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Trust me, my opinions have, you know, my opinions have mellowed out far more.
I like since Time Bandits.
23. Yeah. Time Bandits is a fun movie. It's a mess of a movie.
I also like The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Yeah, that's another one that's a mess of a movie.
The Terry Gilliam movies, they're all like that.
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam, every one of them. Even
Tideland.
Brazil.
Oof.
Yeah, even Brazil is a... Tideland was fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, that was weird. That was bizarre. Yeah, Terry Gilliam's movies, there's a couple of them that I really like. I think 12 Monkeys is an excellent movie.
12 Monkeys, I think, is his best film. Because I think that's the one that actually is a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, because the other ones are like, it's Terry Gilliam, so it's good, but it's Terry Gilliam good.
I like 12 Monkeys. I think you're probably right. 12 Monkeys is probably, like, the tightest script. I think that you get the best performances out of The Fisher King, though. That's, like, I think one of my favorites.
I haven't seen that movie.
You should. It's got the dude. You know, Robin Williams in it. It's a pretty... It's a pretty intense movie. I like it quite a bit. I'm trying to think what else well, aside from like the Python movies and stuff like that and, you know, all that nonsense.
He didn't direct the Python movies,
no,
did he?
No.
He just did the animated sequences. The animated suffered a fatal heart attack and the cartoon Peril was no more.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is another one that I really enjoy.
Hmm.
But, you know, that's
beautiful
not,
fucking tits.
That's not for everyone. I can understand why people don't like Fear and Loathing.
It's fucking weird.
It's fucking insane.
I like it, but it's a fucking weird movie.
Yeah, it's about like the first 45 minutes of that movie are the most amazing movie in the world. Then after that,
you kind
of
like, yeah.
It dips off.
For sure.
My favorite part is the part where he's driving. He's cops about to pull him over, and then he's going like. The most common instinct is to pull over when a police officer goes behind you. The real thing to do is to accelerate, give him chase, so that way he respects you. Oh, man. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Prequels, terrible. And if you like them, you're a terrible human being. If you enjoy, and I shouldn't say if you like them, if you think they are good movies, you are a terrible human being. If you enjoy them, that's fine. That's fine if you enjoy them, but you have to admit that they're terrible movies. I want to hear that from your lips. No, these are terrible movies, but I enjoy them. Okay, that's fine. We just all agree that you're a terrible human being, but that's fine. You know, aside from that, my God, that second movie is the most boring movie in the world. It is like 3 hours long and nothing happens.
One thing happens.
Hello.
No, this party's over. That happens.
It's true, Baby Boba Fett.
Yep, he busts out and goes, "This party's over," which is the most ridiculous Star Wars line possible.
No, no, it's the one where the most ridiculous line is where Obi-Wan pops up behind Grievous and is like, "Hello."
Oh yeah, well, that's stupid.
Hello. Yeah, no, that's and then you have General Grievous, which is just like, well, what's going on here? Why does this robot have lightsabers? What's the whole point? Is he a Jedi? Is he a Sith? Is he a robot Sith? What's going on? Nothing is explained here.
I think he's a cyborg, if I remember correctly, because the reason he's breathing all fucked up is because in the excellent Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars cartoons, Mace Windu uses the Force to like crush his
chest. Ribcage, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, of course, none of that is explained, and that whole Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars thing is not in canon anymore.
But it's excellent.
It's fantastic. No, I agree with you. I really enjoyed it.
It has that giant fucking Mandalorian dude, too. He's cool as shit. Dirge, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's fucking sweet. He's got a motorcycle.
No, and that's where you get the Obi-Wan and Stormtrooper armor with the cape.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking. And then, of course, they screwed up. Genndy Tartakovsky's actually done a comic book version of Luke Cage recently that's pretty good. A lot of people got some good buzz on it.
That's interesting.
I read it really briefly. I didn't get a chance to really dive into it. But, yeah.
I know the big thing now is the return of Samurai Jack,
yeah.
Which is supposedly great. So
I never got into Samurai Jack. It was a little bit after my time.
I never watched it.
Really? I thought you would be on top of that.
I was never into it. I just... It seems like it floated around it.
It's like your thing though. It's like for someone like me that's like when I say like I don't like Radiohead, and like all the other white guys around me who are wearing flannel are going like, what? You don't like Radiohead? I'm like,
but
no.
I'm a creep.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I'm like, no, I never really liked Radiohead. And they're like, give me that beard. And they like tear my beard off. They take my flannel off and shred it in front of me. And they're like, you're no longer allowed to be a white person. And they take my white people card and cut it in half. But that's like for, that's why it's like when you say like, I've never watched Samurai Jack, I'm like, what? Give me your anime nerd card.
I would be so bold as to say that is not an anime nerd card.
Well, whatever your
expectations card.
Yeah, give me your expectation card. I'm gonna take a clip off of that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it. It's fine cartoon. It's enjoyable. Yeah,
I never really watched that many like shows.
Yeah,
like I stopped watching like TV cartoons for the most part. During that period of my life, like when that was on the air, I was just watching, if anything, I was watching, you know, VHS, like bootleg DVDs and shit of whatever. But yeah, I didn't really watch a lot of stuff on TV that at around that time. Like I had like a lot of like the 90s and 80s stuff, watched it all. And then there's that gap, that like really late 90s to like mid 2000s gap, like where Samurai Jack is from and like a lot of the stuff that's like coming back now.
That's
a gap in my like viewing,
so like,
as it were.
So they brought back Samurai Jack. They brought back Powerpuff Girls. They brought back Ben 10, which is not even that old to begin with.
No.
So it's like, when are they going to bring back like Dexter's Lab and Johnny Bravo?
I don't think they can bring Dexter. I think all the voice actors from Dexter's Lab are dead.
What? Yeah. I mean, you don't have to have the same voice actors.
I mean, Dexter's voice is pretty iconic.
Yeah, but they didn't do that for the Powerpuff Girls. And all those voice actors are still alive.
Well, from what I hear, the Powerpuff Girls should have stayed canceled.
Yeah, it's not that great. But whatever, it's not. The thing is it's like all these people get complaints about it. It's like, it's not for you. It's for like my 5-year-old daughter. And you're like, but I could enjoy it too. Yes, you can enjoy it. But if you don't enjoy it, they don't care. It's for the 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds who will then make the parents buy them crap that have the Powerpuff Girls on it. That's who it's for. It's, you know. If you enjoy it, that's just the bonus on top of it.
Hey, there was an episode of the Teen Titans I watched the other day, which was the entire episode was making fun of the fact that they're so different from the original.
Oh, yeah.
And like they have clips from the original show, and they're like, wow, we used to be cool.
Is that the one where they like reinvent themselves numerous times?
Yes. And then it ends with them farting on the screen.
I love the Teen Titans Go. People who hate the Teen Titans Go,
it's funny,
are soulless monsters.
I think my biggest issue with that show is they keep showing the same fucking episodes. Like, over and over.
It's their most popular show, so they just rerun it. There's only 4 seasons of it.
I wouldn't mind them rerunning it, but like I'll see the same episodes like in the same week.
Yeah. Well, no, that's, yeah.
Like, restart it. Like, give me a break.
Give me a break.
Like, restart it from episode 1 and just keep going in a cycle. Like, if you do that, you don't see the episodes as frequently.
Oh, yeah. I've seen about 2,000 of them.
Speaking of TV shows, Real Ghostbusters is on
Netflix now. And I was lamenting it not too long ago.
Yeah, I was watching some episodes. That show's got pretty good writing.
It does. It's J. Michael Straczynski, the guy who did Babylon 5.
Yeah.
Babylon 5.
Also, he wrote one of the Thor movies. It was either Thor 1 or 2.
I think he may have worked on it. I don't know if he was the actual writer. Who knows? Because the Thor movies are terrible. They're the weakest movies in the Marvel universe, cinematic universe.
I think Ant-Man is worse than either of the Thors.
Ant-Man's writing is consistently
is
tighter.
Iron Man.
It's consistently tighter than Thor.
Yeah, but it's Iron Man.
Well, that's fine. Doctor Strange is Iron Man. All of those movies are just Iron Man over and over and over again.
The only difference between Doctor Strange and Iron Man is there's a little bit more...
they're both played by Sherlock Holmes.
There's a little bit more prior stuff for Doctor Strange
than
Iron Man. There's more character development. But yes, it's the same movie.
There's absolutely zero... Well, I should say there's character background. There's no character development
background
whatsoever. And it's like Doctor Strange is like, I'm an asshole doctor. Now I'm just an asshole magician. I haven't learned anything.
Now I'm an asshole magician with wizarding powers. But yes, it's the same movie. It's got the villain has the same power. Someone close to the hero is kidnapped. It's the this, it's that fucking Iron Man formula. Even the Ghostbusters remake has the Iron Man formula.
Yeah.
The villain uses the same technology as they do to use his powers. They kidnap Chris Hemsworth. Like, it's the same movie.
I know.
Every movie that's come out in like the last 5 years is the same movie.
It's just Iron Man over and over again.
It's all Iron Man.
It's all Iron Man.
Everything's Iron Man.
Oh my God.
It's like, oh my God.
I mean, shit, even Deadpool was technically Iron Man, but Deadpool was really entertaining.
Well, yeah, Deadpool had a funnier script, at least.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's Thor. If I could, those who listen to Comic Book Logic could go back and listen to the Thor podcast, because I go on for about 2 hours of why Thor is a bad movie.
I think the second one was pretty good.
The second one is not as bad as the first one.
The second one had a lot of cool stuff going on.
But it's still a pretty bad movie. Thor 2 is pretty bad.
The first one's pacing is really weird.
Well, the problem with there's so many problems with the first one. There's so many. Like, I just number one is they didn't know what type of movie they wanted to do. Number two, there's about seven characters too many in that movie.
Hey, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy is not Iron Man.
No, Guardians of the Galaxy is why Guardians of the Galaxy was so successful, was because it was something all in of itself.
Yeah, not Iron Man.
No, not Iron Man. No, not at all. And it was snarky, and there was pop culture references.
I'm ready for the new Spider-Man because it's going to be Iron Man.
That new my favorite comment about the Spider-Man trailer, the Homecoming trailer, is, wow, I'm really glad I got to see all of that Spider-Man movie in 2.5 minutes. Because that's what that trailer is. It's the entire movie.
Hey, don't forget you've got Michael Keaton, who played Birdman, which was a film lampooning the whole superhero genre and kind of shitting on it. And he played Birdman, and now he's playing like the Vulture,
which
is
a
Birdman.
Do you ever see Birdman?
The Attorney at Law?
No, Birdman the movie.
Oh,
with Michael Keaton.
No, I didn't.
I don't know if you'd like it. I don't think you would. You might. It's a very good movie. But I don't know if it's quite Steve material.
Mm.
I know. I can't speak for you.
I'm pretty random with fucking movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't...
People can never predict what I'm going to like and not like, really.
They're
like, oh, you're going to love this movie. And I'm like, that movie sucks. And I'm like, oh, you're not going to like this movie. I'm like, that movie was great.
No, I can know when you're going to love a movie.
Okay.
However, I don't know necessarily, like, if I think you might like it or might not. I can't tell.
I just watched Train to Busan. That was the last movie I watched.
A lot of people love that movie.
It did some very cool stuff. Like, it's a zombie movie. So, like, I don't think there was anything, like, it's not a bad movie. It's a solid zombie movie, mm-hmm. but it's still a zombie movie, so you're not really breaking new ground. But what they did do is they did some pretty cool stuff with zombies, which was new. They actually managed to add some new content to, like, they made their own zombie lore, which I thought was pretty cool.
People in their own zombie lore. This time the zombies are going to have worms for blood.
No, it's not like that. Yeah. I mean, it's not really a spoiler. The zombies can't see in the dark. So when it's light and they see people, they freak out and run at them. But if they can't see people, they just kind of stand still. And they also can't see in the dark. So
I like the smell zombie theory from The Walking Dead.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, where you can cover yourself in zombie goo.
I want to see that, but with Toucan Sam from the Fruit Loops, like follow your nose.
Like, so he'd be a zombie.
Yes,
follow your nose.
Zombie Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Nice.
Or not Hanna-Barbera.
Hey, there you go. You could pitch that. They did Marvel Zombies. You could do
Hanna-Barbera
zombie mascots.
Oh, zombie mascots. That's
fucking Captain Crunch. Get the fuck away from me, you undead freaks.
He's on a boat. He's like
fighting the Soggies.
He's out on his boat. He's like, they can't get me if I'm on the water.
I'll stay crunchy in milk.
It's like Toucan Sam and fucking Tony the Tiger. Like, I love fighting zombies. It's great.
Which mascot would spread the outbreak?
Probably Dig'em.
Dig'em the frog?
The frog, yeah. Or, who's that fucking, the Sonny the Cocoa Bird, who's always crazy.
Oh, Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah, he's Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Sonny, yeah.
And then he gets cuckoo for eating brains.
I see, okay.
And then he spreads the virus, and that's how it goes.
All right, that's
this
legit.
Is the worst idea we've ever come up with.
What, zombie cereal mascots?
Zombie cereal mascots.
I don't think so.
I mean, we've come up with some shitty things, but this is the worst.
Do you think Boo Berry would be the deciding factor? Because he can't become a zombie, he's already a ghost. And I guess neither could Frank. Well, actually, I think the cereal monster gang would be the ace in the hole.
Yeah.
Because Count Chocula is already a vampire, he can't become a zombie. Frankenberry is already dead, so he can't become a zombie. And Booberry's a ghost. Again, can't become a zombie.
Well, and Yummy Mummy as well.
Yeah, Yummy Mummy too.
And like, the Fruit Brute. Well, and the Fruit Brute's not undead.
That's true. Can werewolves become zombies?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, there have been Wolfen zombies in Confrontation. So I'm assuming they can.
But here's the question. If you're in human form and you get killed by zombies, do you raise up as a regular zombie? Or do you turn into your werewolf before you come? I don't know. That's an interesting...
These are the questions of which the philosophers have pondered for the last 2,000
would
years.
Would Fruit Brute become a zombie?
If bitten by one.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say because werewolves usually have like a super accelerated healing thing.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no way to heal from a zombie bite.
Well, there could be if you have an accelerated healing factor.
I think there is enough like werewolf zombies in pop culture lore that we could successfully say that Fruit Brute would become a zombie.
I don't know that many. I know of zero werewolf zombies.
I can only think of Confrontation right now.
But they're not zombies. They're resurrected with magic, right?
So that's they're called Wolfen zombies.
But aren't they dead and then pulled and reanimated with a spell?
Oh, I don't know about that.
We'd have to find out.
We have to dig deeper.
We have to dig deep in that because that's a different story. Because
this is like some Dan Brown Da Vinci Code shit going on right now.
They're turning the frogs gay. I'm sick of this crap.
What?
It's a classic Alex Jones quote.
Oh, Alex, turning the frogs gay.
Yeah, they're turning the frogs gay.
Who just admitted, by the way, that it's all an act?
No, his lawyer admitted that.
Oh, yeah, his lawyer admitted that.
Yes. And he admitted that he smokes marijuana once a year to test its potency.
I asked about medicinal marijuana for my back, and my doctor was like, it's not going to be chronic pain, so you don't get it. I'm like, oh.
But I wanted that chronic.
I want that chronic for my chronic. My wife comes over. I'm sitting around with, like, all these, like, straight out of the...
You're just a Rasta.
Yeah, just like...
your brace is just a Jamaican flag.
Joe, why are you in here with the Wu-Tang Clan? Because I'm smoking a chronic now. I'm smoking a chronic, Diana.
Haven't you heard?
It's medicinal.
I'm the chronic.
My wife would be like, you're not allowed to smoke medicinal marijuana. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll go back to my pain. Pain. All right. So let's go L5R.
All I know is pain.
I don't know if you saw that episode. Yeah, L5R stuff. The card game from
L5R,
Fantasy
LCG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it big?
Thus far, the buzz seems to be quite buzzy.
Yeah.
They've made some changes, which I think are pretty sweet.
Are they? Aren't they going to the LCG kind of?
It is an LCG.
Yeah, but so they're not using like the standard Fantasy Flight LCG rules.
No,
they don't know.
No. It's L5R.
Okay. Oh, so it's going back to like the old L5R.
It's L5R. The difference that I've seen is look like there's no more gold is no longer in the game.
Gold. I love gold.
You now use a new thing called Fate.
Ooh.
Samurai cost Fate to cast.
Wait, couldn't they pick something a little more like racisty Asian for that?
There's
like,
plenty of
like
that too.
Chi?
Don't worry about it. There's plenty of that too.
Okay.
Well, Fate ties into how the mechanic works is your unit has a Fate cost.
Okay.
So say like two. You have to spend that much minimum to play them. At the end of your turn, you go to all of your samurai on the field and you remove a Fate counter from them. If they have no Fate counters, they're discarded.
Okay.
But you can spend extra Fate to play them. So if you have a samurai that costs two Fate and you spend two Fate, he's in play for one turn. He comes down, does his thing. At the end of the turn, when you check for Fate counters, he has none. He goes to the graveyard. If you spend four Fate, say, he comes in with two Fate counters. So he comes down, does his thing. At the end of the turn, you take one of his Fate counters away and he stays in the field.
Okay.
So like, and it's that's like representing their like, you know, they're spending their lives like building the honor of their clan, etc.
Building the honor of a clan.
Yes, Cran actually.
Yeah, Cran. Well, no, the Crane Clan is a different thing altogether.
Crane Cran.
The Crane Cran. Oh.
Hi.
So yeah, L5R has always been like.
Oh, and if you run your opponent out of honor, they've abandoned the tenets of Bushido.
Oh,
and they immediately lose.
Oh man. Do you get to say that to your opponent?
Yes, like, you do.
You have abandoned the honor of Bushido.
The tenets of
tenets
Bushido.
Tenets of Bushido. The David tenets of Bushido.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh man.
Sumimasen.
I look forward to many overweight white kids playing this game inside the local
I don't think it's going to be a big hit.
Arena Complex.
I don't think it's going to be a big hit with the younger set.
No, you don't think so?
The LCGs usually don't go with the younger crowd. They're usually like the 20 plus.
Okay. I could see that. I mean, the younger crowd likes the
Yu-Gi-Ohs.
The neurological hit of opening up a pack of cards and seeing what you got.
You got to get that rip.
Yeah, that
smell.
It's like, oh, man, what rare card? Then you look at me. So when you opened up a pack, what was your method? Did you look through all of the cards first, or did you immediately go to the back card to see what the rare was?
I only ever bought boxes.
Okay.
So I just like sifted through. Like, I was very methodical. I was just like commons, uncommons, rares, commons. I didn't even look at what I got. I just sorted because I knew how, like, where was what.
But like going back to how you were initially, like when you first started, when you opened up the packs, did you ever?
I sorted them by color, and then I looked through the cards.
Okay, you did by okay. I could see that.
That's how I did it.
Whenever I used to do that, whatever game I played, I would open it up. I'd look at the back card first because it's always the rare. So that was always I was always like, what rare did I get? Oh!
Yeah, I sorted by color, and then it went from there.
And I'd be like, Black Lotus.
This card's crap. It's not even a dragon. Now Shivan Dragon. Now that's the money card, which is true because for the longest time, Black Lotus was like $5 and Shivan Dragon was $50. So there you go.
Yeah. So I mean, whatever.
Magic was dumb.
magic is incredibly dumb. You know what the funny thing is I've never like, and I'm a big garage sailor. I like going out to garage sales. I've never seen anyone ever selling Magic cards at a garage sale.
That time has passed for the most part. Like, the only way you're going to be able to find that is if it's some old lady who's selling her kids' cards or grandson's cards and doesn't know what they're doing. Like, no one is selling. The card Magic is too big and too well known. Most people know that if they're going to sell Magic cards, they can just go to a game store.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, like, I'm talking, like, for the last 10 years. I've never seen that happen.
I did find plenty of people selling garage sales. Yeah, there was always, like, the shoebox.
Yeah.
I bought many, never scored.
Never scored.
No, I mean, I got some good stuff, but like
you never found your Moxes.
I never got a story.
You never got a story.
I never got a story. Like I could be like, yeah, I spent $20 on this box and it was like $400. Great, but that's not a story.
Yeah, like a story is like I opened up the box and out came the ghost of Gary Gygax.
The story is my buddy who bought a 5K from a fucking old dude and it was all alpha and beta.
Oh.
Nothing but alpha and beta, and like there was dual lands, like no Lotus, but like Time Walk, Ancestral Recall. Like it was a lot of fucking, like a lot of money. Like I think like $8,000.
And how much did you spend on it?
$25.
Oh Jesus! I think you told me this story before. Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I'd probably buy the cards, and I'd be like,
he went back and gave the old dude $1,000.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. He just knocked on the door and just like, hey, those cards were worth a lot, so here's $1,000.
What I would do is I'd be like, I bought these Magic cards, Steve. Are they worth anything? And you'd be like, no, here's $30.
Yeah, they're worth, I don't know, $25 in a soda.
Ooh, a soda.
Yeah. Have a cola.
That would be me. What other gaming stuff do we have? Do we have anything?
L5R was the biggest news, really. Like, I think that was bigger than the new edition of 40K.
The new Zombicide Kickstarter is popping up soon.
Is it?
I think end of May. They're redoing the second edition of, like, the medieval one.
The Fallout from Modiphius.
Oh, yeah, they are doing a Fallout minigame.
Fallout miniatures game.
Is it a minigame or is it a board game?
It's Miniature Battles in the Wasteland is what it's called. Or Tactical Miniature Battles in the Wasteland. The figures look great. They look
do they?
Really
I don't know
good.
Fallout that well, so I can't really...
They look game accurate.
Game accurate.
So,
do I get a dog?
Yes.
It's all I know about Fallout is that you get a dog for some reason. Blech. Why do you not eat a dog immediately if you're living in a wasteland? I don't know, but
well, because the wasteland in Fallout is not exactly like a Fallout's
Mad Max.
Past that point.
Oh, okay.
It's past that point of Mad Max where like Fallout is. Society is being rebuilt, so like you don't need to, you're not that desperate for food for the most part, because like trade is back, there's caravans, like society is rebuilding when you're playing in Fallout. There's cities,
you trade bottle caps,
there's currency,
yeah.
Well, because they needed to have some sort of finite currency that everyone could agree on, and they agreed that it would be bottle caps from Nuka-Cola.
Okay,
so that's just the way it worked out,
yeah.
And Yeah, and there's actually a quest in New Vegas where you actually have to kill a group of criminals who hijacked a Sunset Sarsaparilla bottling plant because they were making new bottle caps. So they were going to wreck the economy.
They're going to wreck the economy by flooding it with bottle caps.
Yep. So yeah, you had to go in and kill them. But yeah. So
I'm interested in finding how many kids learn about how money works, based how paper currency works, based upon their
Fallout.
Based upon working in Fallout. Yes, playing Fallout.
Yeah, but yeah, they look game accurate. It looks really cool. I don't know any. There's no details about it whatsoever. They just showed Super Mutants. They showed a Deathclaw, and they showed some Brotherhood of Steel figures.
Wasn't there like a little like vending machine too?
Yes, the Nuka-Cola vending machine, which looks fucking awesome, and they'd go perfect with some Wreckage vehicles.
Yeah, there you go. You know far more about this. I was like, Fallout, no one's going to play this, but maybe they will.
I think they will. I think that's going to be, if not necessarily playing that game, people are going to buy those minis.
Oh, yeah, they'll buy it for the minis. I mean, I was just, this weekend, Salute is over in the UK, which is their big mini convention that they do every year. I was looking at Warlord Games. They're selling Terminator Genesis for £10 a box. So,
ouch.
Yeah, 36 minis. I never liked those minis. I thought those minis were crap. And you know that. I've said that on the podcast. I thought those minis were crap.
Yeah, I don't know. The licensed miniatures games are like weird. They're either like really good or just garbo.
I don't know how many of are ever really good though.
I heard the Alien vs. Predator one's really good.
The Protoss one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one plays it, but
yeah, I mean exactly, but I've heard it's really good.
I take that back. Starship Troopers, aside from its glaring flaws, you know, like the people who really broke that game, was actually a semi-decent mini game.
There you go.
But yeah, aside from that, there's still people who going. When I was at C2E2 this weekend, C2E2, the big comic book convention here in Chicagoland. I got pushed around in a wheelchair the entire time, which was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, I was looped up on the pain on the muscle relaxer and the painkiller, getting pushed around, and I was just like, a drool coming out of my mouth.
I'm Bruce Wayne.
But there was a couple booths that were selling the Starship Troopers, the old Micro Machines stuff with like, and there was the remote controlled hopper bug, and I was like, oh, I kind of want that. And it was like, I'm sitting there going like, oh, that'd be so cool. And then I remember that like those Micro Machine ones, they would just go, nying, 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 and like barely move.
Would you like to know more?
Would you like to know more? I rewatched that recently.
Great soundtrack.
Oh, it's a fantastic movie. It's a very well directed.
Rico's Roughnecks.
It's a very well directed, like, campy sci-fi movie.
It's directed
movie.
By the guy who did RoboCop, right?
Yeah, Verhoeven.
Yeah,
Paul Verhoeven.
Fucking great.
Yeah, it's pure camp.
Does that dude make bad movies? Like, he doesn't make a lot.
No, he makes bad movies.
Does he? Okay.
But I mean, like, the thing is,
because the only movies I know he did was RoboCop and fucking Starship Troopers.
Well, if those are the only two movies that you know that he did,
that's
then
it.
You can live in the bliss that he's done two excellent movies.
That's it. That's all I got.
No, Paul Verhoeven, he's not a terrible. He's a great director, but the thing is that he likes camp. And so if you don't really know it as camp, if let's say the editor edits it in such a way that it's not campy anymore, then it kind of loses a lot on it.
I see.
So like Starship Troopers, it's like, you're like, what the hell is this movie? And then you realize that it's like a big satire about like how crazy people can get in the military and like how the military is like ill-prepared for certain things. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it, you know. Because it's
even the kids at home are doing their part and they're like stomping on bugs. Like,
yeah. what does he say? I'm Johnny Rico. I'm from
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. Kill them all. Did you play Helldivers on PS4?
No.
Oh, if you get a chance, if you want to kill some time, get Helldivers. On PS4, it's a cheap digital game.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's
Starship Troopers.
Oh okay, cool.
It's fucking hilarious. It's like it's the same level of camp as the movie, and it's a twin stick shooter like Narc or Smash TV.
Oh, Smash TV.
And it's got the same exact like soup. The you are humans and you're on Super Earth.
Oh okay.
They've called it like we are sending our troops out from Super Earth and you fight bugs and cyborgs and other things. It's very funny, tongue in cheek, and decently hard, but it's fun.
Yeah, I was,
Helldivers is what it's called.
One of the things I was like, I'm gonna play a video game on my PS4 as long as I'm laying on the couch. So I got Pat B to loan me Battlefield 1. And then I was like, as I was playing, I was like, oh, I'm gonna play the multiplayer. And I was like, you have to subscribe to the PS4 thing. I'm like, I don't want to subscribe for just one game. And I'm like, how do I play multiplayer? I text Pat. I'm like, how do I play multiplayer if I don't want to pay for this? And he's like, you can't. I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to break your game.
Did you?
No, I did not. I'm not going to break one of Pat's games. Pat's the nicest boy on the planet. I'm not going to break one of his. I'm like the only person on the planet he loans games to because he knows I take care of them. Yeah, so I mean, that's exactly it. That's been my, like, I've wanted to paint, I've wanted to put together stuff, I've wanted to play games. I cannot do any of it. I'm so, like, just, like, laying on the couch going, drool coming out of my mouth.
Well, that's my standard.
Yeah, well, yeah, except you're sitting there playing BlazBlue while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, you're still going.
Actually, I've been playing Nier Automata.
Well, you're sitting there laying on the couch going, with the drool coming out of your mouth. However, your fingers are moving furiously on the controller.
There's, like, smoke coming off the controller.
And that's kind of me, except for the fact that I'm like, I can't move my hands. Got to roll off the couch to get up and all that fun stuff. But yeah, it's relatively fun. I actually tried to, you know, we got the newborn in home, and I was like, he was crying, and so I go to pick him up, and I pick him up, and I go, Diana, I did something wrong. I did something very, very wrong.
That's awesome.
She had to go get him from me, because I'm like, I can't lift 20 pounds. I sneezed, and I felt like my torso was going to explode. Yeah, it's not been fun. But aside from that, I got 6 more weeks of this nonsense.
Only 6 more weeks? That's not bad.
No. Well, that's until I get, like, re-x-rayed and re-CAT scanned to see if everything's okay with it. But it's getting better every day. Just trying to survive, man. Just trying to survive. All right.
Well, maybe you shouldn't try and be a superhero.
I fell off a ladder, dude.
Well, maybe you shouldn't try and be a shitty superhero.
Maybe you should try and climb ladders. There you go, ladders. That's what I always tell people. They go, why would anybody want to go outside? I went outside once and I broke my back. That's what you get, going outside.
I don't go outside.
Yeah, see, Steve didn't go outside. His back's fine.
It's true.
Yeah, the only other news I saw when I was like just doing a little bit of research is the new Zombicide Kickstarter is coming out in May. It's called like the Green Horde. So I think
it's
going
to be May.
It's
going to be May.
It's going to be May. So they're going to be doing Orcs and Goblins for Zombicide now. So
Oh, right. The expansion for Black Plague.
Black Plague. That's right, yeah. Right. So they're going to be putting that out. That looks like it could be interesting. At least a little different from zombies. I mean, if they...
Well, Black Plague's the most interesting one because it has other things other than zombies. Yeah. And it has classes for your characters and stuff. I believe it's the definitive Zombicide.
The definitive Zombicide. And it's so I mean you get the orcs and gobos.
And, oh, and Starfinder. We didn't talk at all about Starfinder.
Starfinder is the new RPG, right?
Yeah, it's Pathfinder in space.
Space. Pathfinder in space. We have to come up with a theme song for it though.
Starfinder. Finding stars in space.
No, that's what is that? That's almost like Airwolf. I think you just did the theme song to
Airwolf.
That's
fine.
Not that anybody knows the theme song to
Airwolf.
Yeah,
that's fine. It's a sweet show about a sweet attack helicopter.
Roy Scheider's in it. No, he was in Blue Cobra. I don't remember what it was. Airwolf, whatever. Hold on a second. I'm going to see if I can find the Airwolf theme song. give me a break here, guys. I'm a little high.
But yeah, no. Starfinder looks really fucking cool. I guess the big draw from it is they worked really hard on the spaceship rules,
ooh,
which seems fun. I'm probably gonna collect it because it seems cool.
Yeah.
And it's my alley. It's got magic and technology and like it's I like that kind of shit. You know, like Spelljammer and stuff. It seems like a cooler Spelljammer. So we'll see. I'm at least gonna get the initial launch stuff.
Starfinder. Sorry.
And you know what? If I record any of the sessions, I will make sure that is the theme. I won't use the helicopter noise though. Just the song.
It's some sweet, like,
it's fucking awesome
70s,
synth.
80s synth going on there.
I love synth. That's some, what, like, Kavinsky and shit.
I don't, yeah, I'm not a huge synth fan, but this is, this makes me want to, like, get on a motorcycle and, like, fight crime. This is crime-fighting music, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it does, it, so, like, instead of, like, orcs and goblins, there'll be aliens. Are they doing, like, a straight-up, like,
No, there's gonna be orcs and goblins.
Is it gonna, but is it...
It is Galarian, the Pathfinder universe, but, like, 6,000 years in the future.
6,000 years in the future! But yeah. Is it gonna be, like, are they straight-up doing, Starjammer?
It's less tongue-in-cheek than Starjammer. Okay. It's like they actually are progressing their universe like X thousand years.
Okay, so it's not tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, so like the...
But it's kind of the similar concept to
right.
Starjammer.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Starjammer!
As Starjammer was... Spelljammer.
Spelljammer, sorry.
Spelljammer was D&D in space. This is Pathfinder in space, but it's more like the cover has like a human and like a goblin in a space suit and stuff. They have lots of aliens. It looks really cool.
10,000 years in the future in the Utaba Nebula.
The thing I like about it is that it's well, one of the things I like about it is like one of the biggest issues with any of the D20s, even 5th edition, is like the crazy kind of power level creep that you get when you get high level characters. And despite the fact that doing E6 is really simple with 3.5, which is one option, the other option is spaceships. Doesn't matter how good your character is, if their spaceship gets destroyed, they're dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, you're a wizard. Great. You can cast a spell to survive in space. How many rounds? Cool. So you survive 20 rounds in space. You're still dead. It's space. You have any idea how big space is? Like, you survived the spaceship exploding. Awesome. You're floating in space for 20 rounds. You see nothing. You hear nothing. Your spell ends, you die. That's how it would go.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get... If you're floating in space and you have no way to move yourself at rapid speed, you're dead. Period.
That's true.
Unless you can breathe in space permanently, which a spellcaster wouldn't be able to do because all spells would...
What are you going to name your spaceship?
I wouldn't name a spaceship. I'd be running the game.
You'd be running the game? You don't want to run the spaceship? Like, if I called it the Sea Unicorn...
If I did this spaceship, I would probably call it something like the Blazing Rose or
the Blazing Rose.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, I would call it the Broadway Danny Rose. That's what I call my spaceship.
Or Laserhawk.
Laserhawk.
Yeah. Like, quick, get in the Laserhawk. It just blasts synth music as I'm taking off.
It's like, why does it have wings? You don't need wings in outer space. It doesn't matter. It's cool.
It's for the atmospheric mode.
Oh, my God. Oh, all right. Well, the drugs are slowly starting to wear off, so I think we better call it. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, /PlanetArbitrary. / Game Classy Podcast. You could also listen to us on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe on YouTube is the best way you can help out the podcast. It's like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. You could also listen to our sister podcasts. Comic Book Logic's currently on hiatus until Kevin gets enough sleep from his newborn. You could also listen to Game Classy. Now, what am I saying? Jesus Christ.
Play On Podcast,
which is all about the video games. And the retro, the mini SNES, which is going to come out, which I'm super excited about. I don't know if you are, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an eBay exclusive, unfortunately.
I don't think so. I think Nintendo is going to flood the market with it.
We'll see.
Because that's what Nintendo does. It's like they'll put out the mini NES, creates a huge demand. They think that... So people think that the SNES is going to be like this...
Well, the problem with the NES is, like, the NES wasn't... So, the prices that the NES Classic is online is not reflective of how many NES Classics were produced. Because there are plenty. Like, if you can't find something... Like, if I can go online and buy something, even for an inflated price, that means that there were enough. The only way there's not enough of a product is if I can go online and I can't find it. For any price. That means they didn't make enough. The problem is you had all these fucking shitlords shoveling all of their stores' NES Classics to some fucking neckbeard out the back door to go sell on eBay. That's the problem. Staff took all of the supply and just shoveled it. It never hit shelves. Like, for a ton of stores, I guarantee their NES Classics never hit their shelves.
Could very well be.
That's my guess.
But that's I'm thinking that because of the demand, Nintendo's pretty good about whenever they see something like that, they'll always generally increase supply.
Yeah.
In the future, like look what they did with Amiibos. I mean, how rare do you hear about people complaining about the rarity of Amiibos anymore?
Yeah, the only Amiibos that are hard to get now are like the ones that are exclusives.
Exclusives, yeah. Like all the general ones are pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
So the Nintendo's really good about that.
I hope so, because I mean, a SNES Classic would be great.
Yeah. I mean,
Super Punch Out, F-Zero, Link to the Past, like
I think the
shit.
I saw some people. I don't know if it was like an official game list or something like that or a wish list, but there were certain things on there that I'm like, there's no way that this game, like I think they had like Lion King, no, not Lion King, like Disney's Aladdin, and I'm like, I don't think that they would be able to get Disney's Aladdin to put on there. That just seems like really weird. Like that wouldn't.
Because
I was thinking, I think it would be mostly Nintendo exclusives.
Well,
like you'd see Super Metroid, you'd see Link to the Past, you'd see F-Zero, Star
Fox.
Because
like on the NES Classic, they had Final Fantasy and Castlevania, which were not Nintendo games.
But didn't Nintendo end up owning those in the long? No, they don't own that anymore.
It's still Konami and still SquareSoft, and I think they had some Capcom title too. But like, that's as simple as them asking, like, "Hey, Capcom." I think Disney would be a little bit more of a work than Although Capcom did make the Disney's Aladdin, so I would have to see. I don't know what the licensing for that means.
Yeah.
Like Capcom did make the Aladdin games for Genesis and SNES.
Yeah.
So
maybe I don't know. You know more about this.
I think they only made it for SNES. I think Virgin made it for Genesis.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you will definitely see like Final Fantasy 2 and 3.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of those. You'll see Secret of Mana. You'll see probably what's the Castlevania one for Super Nintendo?
Super Castlevania.
Is it just Super Castlevania?
Yeah. Na 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 na. That game's great. I have that game on Wii U. It's fun. Although that playing that game with save states makes me just like appreciate how much work it was to beat a Super Nintendo game without it, because like when you die, you're back at the beginning of the fucking stage.
Yeah,
and it's just like, and there are some bullshit moments where you're like, oh, I slipped, fell into a pit, oh, back at the beginning of the stage.
The single worst game I ever played on the Super Nintendo for like bullshit moments was Super Star Wars.
All of those games were fucking horseshit.
No,
all of them. Super Empire, Super Star Wars, and Super Return of the Jedi. There's diarrhea all over the screen at all moments, and everything hurts you and does huge amounts of damage. They look good, though.
Yeah. Well, no, because Super Empire and Super Jedi were never near as bad as Super Star Wars, because I could beat both Super Empire and Super Jedi, and I'm not that great of a video game player.
Hoth and Super Empire was garbage.
Hoth was garbage, but you could beat Hoth.
I think the hardest part in regular Super Star Wars was the fucking
garbage pit.
In the
sandcrawler?
The 3D mode where you were on the speeder or whatever.
Oh no, that part wasn't hard. No, the problem was the sandcrawler, you'd go from the sandcrawler stage where it was like you touch this pit and you die. You touch this lava, you die. And you were constantly falling in the lava dying. And then you'd go to the damn sand crawler, you'd go to the cantina, and then you'd have to fight like the Djeric monster, and he was impossible to beat. He was literally impossible to beat.
Yeah. You probably had to use a specific character and use all their bombs or something.
Yeah, something stupid like
that. Those games were awful.
Yeah, but Empire and Jedi I could beat, but I don't think those games will be on there. No, and like Mario Kart will be on there, so that'll be fun.
Mario Kart for sure. Yeah.
So I mean, that's some fun stuff. Then they're gonna do like the mini N64. Oh god, N64 had like four good games on it.
Mario Kart 64, Smash Brothers, arguably Mario 64. I don't think Mario 64 has aged well. Arguably Ocarina of Time. I also don't think that game has aged well.
You're gonna have a lot of people come attack you now.
Whatever, dude. N64, okay. Period. That's my stance on the N64.
The Rogue Squadron was good.
There was Shadows of the Empire, but like that game. But a lot of those games, people remember being good. When you go back and play them, they're garbage.
Oh, Shadows of the Empire was garbage.
Terrible game.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Rogue Squadron wasn't bad though. I remember playing Rogue Squadron.
I didn't play that one. And I never owned a 64. I always played at my friend's house, and I was like, man, you guys are idiots. I'm gonna go home and play PlayStation.
I remember the N64. The only game I ever played on N64, like, and was WWF Raw. It was
the wrestling games from THQ.
Yeah, yeah, where you can design your own character.
Yeah, you can make a giant fat guy and name him Mayonnaise.
We would a buddy of mine had it, and in college, this was in college, and so we would get, you know, just drunk, and we would play this nonstop all night long. And that was like how I spent my college, was playing WWF Raw on an N64 and doing that. And then I'd go up to another friend's room and play on the PlayStation 2.
Nice.
Because that was the top technology, and play Tony Hawk Pro Skater all night. But aside from that, yeah, mini SNES, that's what we'll talk about. And there's also Weeb Town.
Which we'll have an episode at some point.
Yeah. You say it's recorded.
It is. I just haven't edited it.
Oh, you haven't edited it. Steve, hopefully in 2 weeks will we meet again.
Yeah, indeed.
Until then,
Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Game Classy.